It is good this morning to listen very carefully, because this is something that concerns all of us, especially if the color of your skin is black. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. We're speaking this morning on what I call deliverance for Africa. Deliverance for Africa. That's why I say if your color is black, you need to listen carefully. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. I read from verse 26. Deliverance for Africa. Acts chapter 8 from verse 26. If you are there, say yes. Acts 8:26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia. The man was from Africa. An eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in the chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Please note that the Bible they were reading in those days is not in a book form like this. It's in scrolls, something like animal skin, and it's very heavy to carry. Notice that the man was inside the chariot. The chariot did not have pneumatic tires, like the tire we have on our vehicles today. And the roads are not smooth. In fact, the Bible says it's in the desert. So the riding was not smooth. But this man was sold out to God. His heart was hungry after God. So in that kind of driving, which is very rough, the man stuck to the scroll he was reading and was trying to read the book of Isaiah. He was a devout man. He was a man who was passionate about Jesus. He was a man who had a consecrated heart. He was a man who was very serious. It should have been easy to say, when I get home, I will start reading this Bible. Let me relax now that I'm on this journey. But he could not. He just could not rest. He had to read that scripture. And he was reading it inside the chariot. It shows the readiness of his heart. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. I pray that the man, the woman that will move your destiny forward will join your boat. Your amen is not loud enough. You know, somebody can join your boat and the boat will capsize. And somebody like Joseph may join your company and there will be prosperity. Philip joined himself to the chariot of that eunuch. And that was his transformation. May someone join you that will transform you. In the name of Jesus. And Philip ran thither to him and had him read prophet Isaiah. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his chair. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet? This of himself, of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and they baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way to Ethiopia rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This simple story we have read is the first time the gospel got to Africa. This eunuch was coming from Jerusalem. He had seen and heard of what happened on the day of Pentecost. He had seen a hard man speaking in tongues. He traveled all the way there as a pilgrimage. He was coming back confused. But he knew that the scripture would be the answer. So he started reading it. And God saw his heart. The heart of that black man. And God took Philip from a mighty crusade he was holding. Philip was in a crusade in Samaria. God took him from that crusade. Go to the desert. There is somebody after my heart there. A black man. And Philip joined himself to him. Ministered to him. Baptized him. This man was the first African to hear the gospel. This man was the first African to be baptized in water. This man was the first African to take the gospel away back to Africa. And this was as early as Acts chapter 8 in the Bible. I want you to listen to these hard facts. Listen to these very hard facts. Without the involvement of ancient Africans, there would be no Christianity today. I say that again. Without the involvement of the ancient Africans, there will be no Christianity today. Without the involvement of ancient Africans, it is possible that there will be no nation of Israel today. These are hard facts. Hard fact number one. Without the involvement of ancient Africans, there will be no Christianity today. Fact number two. Without the involvement of ancient Africans, there will probably be no nation of Israel today. Fact number three. Christianity has existed in Africa for over 2,000 years. For over 2,000 years. Fact number four. Christianity got to Africa before it got to Europe and America. This is what you just read here now. Africa was the first place that the Christian church existed in outside Palestine. It was the first place. Many people don't realize this. And so sometimes they say, Christianity, imported religion. No. It got here even before the missionaries got here. That's why the oldest Christian denomination in existence in the world today is in Africa. The oldest Christian denomination in the world today is in Africa. It's called the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. So culturally, Christianity is more African than it is European or American. We must understand this very, very well. And basically, beloved, Africans are some of the most prominent people in the Bible, biblically speaking. And as a matter of fact, there are plenty of prominent people in the Bible who are black people. I'm explaining this to you so you can understand the reason God gets angry with Africa. Moses was born in Africa, Egypt. He was educated in Africa, Egypt. He led the people of God out of Africa. People like Aaron, Miriam, Joshua, Caleb, all of them came out of Egypt. Came out of the place. So they were basically by nationality Africans. Now if you now begin to read your Bible very well, very soon you come across a woman called Keturah, a wife of Abraham. She was a black woman. You come across Agar, black woman, wife of Abraham. You come across one woman called Zipporah. Zipporah was the wife of Moses, a black woman. Later you come across one fellow called Obab in Numbers 10, who led the people of Israel to the wilderness. He was an African. Later you come across one man called Jethro. Jethro was Moses' father-in-law, an African. Later you come across a woman called Asenath. Asenath was the wife of Joseph in Egypt. Later you begin to come across one man called Ebed-Melech, an African, who served Prophet Jeremiah when Jeremiah was thrown inside a well. Later you come across one man called Simon the Cyrene, who helped Jesus to carry his cross when Jesus was tired and was falling down on his way to the cross. He was a black man. And later you find this man here, the Ethiopian eunuch, the first man after Pentecost to take the gospel out of Palestine. Later you begin to read about those who sent Paul and Barnabas out to go and preach the gospel. Those who laid hands on them were black men. So with only a few exceptions, all those who crossed the Red Sea were African in origin. All Hebrews born during those 400 years in bondage, in captivity in Egypt, are basically African, because Egypt is in Africa. So Jesus himself was taken to Egypt by Joseph and Mary when they fled from Bethlehem when Herod wanted to destroy the baby. So you can see that we have a foundation of Christianity. But one way or the other, we began to stray. And as we strayed, Africa went backward. Backward. And practically all the countries on the coast of Africa and practically all African countries were colonized. The only one that we could not say was colonized was Ethiopia, where Christianity landed first. Unfortunately, because we dropped this fire that we collected very early, we have been colonized, enslaved, and exploited. Africa was colonized by distant nations far across the seas. The British people were in West Africa. Germans were in East Africa. Germans and Italians, they were in East Africa. The Dutch and the British, they were in South Africa. The French were in the West, in the North, in Central Africa. The Belgians were in Congo. Portuguese were in somewhere in South Africa. The Spanish were in the West Coast of Africa. And the Arabians took care of the North and the Sub-Sahara area. When we dropped the fire, they spoke languages that were foreign to Africans. And the Africans were forced to learn those languages in their old age. Our own language was considered as barbaric and senseless. And Africa was bombarded by deadly and destructive weapons. Our bows and our arrows could not match the guns they brought. Our canoes could not match their warships. So Africa has learned very bitter lessons. Not only this, those who came to colonize Africa, they harvested our resources. There used to be this pyramid of granite somewhere in Kano. They were shipped away. They've disappeared now. Ghana. They landed in Ghana because of the gold. The gold was taken away. Ivory Coast, they took the ivory away. Congo, they took the diamond away. The problem in Sierra Leone is just a problem of diamonds. That's what they were fighting. South Africa, diamond and gold were taken away. So both present and future harvests were stolen away and has resulted in African children being born into hunger. Strange enough, most of those who came to colonize Africa, most of them, had themselves been ex-convicts, social and political misfits, liabilities in their country, lacking employment in their country. They now came to Africa. There are problems. Africa has the world's richest deposit of natural resources. Yet many African countries are begging bread from those it feeds. Our historically popular cities have been methodically destroyed. If I said Timbuktu now, many people don't know that there was a place called Timbuktu that has a University of Timbuktu in Africa. It had been wiped off and it had disappeared. The Zulu kingdom, the Ethiopian kingdom, all of them had vanished and disappeared. This is a serious matter. And this is why we need to listen very carefully. What is the foundation of all this trouble? Why is there so much trouble? There was already a conspicuous knowledge of God, the Almighty, in Africa over 2,000 years ago. But our backsliding, when we lost the fire, brought in judgment over us and an enslavement. This thing I'm saying here this morning, it calls for individual deliverance, collective deliverance. Can you raise up your right hand and say, any curse under which I labor, I cancel you by fire. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. Any curse under which I labor, cancel them by fire. Masekatenda yabo shenteraba. In Jesus' name we pray. What are the points I've made so far? Christianity got to us before it got to America, before it got to the UK, before it got to Europe. Our backsliding brought in enslavement and judgment. Today, Africans are to be found in the Middle East, America, Asia, Europe, and the West Indies. In those days, we were carried away by force. And we were engaged in plantation, to be planting sugarcane and things like that. But today now, a greater plantation field is now available. Professor of medicine will leave Africa and go out and be working under his own student because of the economic situation of his own country. Professor of economics washing dishes in restaurants in foreign lands. Masters in sociology will be a security guard in the foreign country. Chartered accountant in Nigeria is gone abroad now, but it's a taxi driver. So the plantation field, our forefathers worked, there is a greater plantation field now again. This is a very strange thing. How many British people have you seen who are clamoring to become Nigerian citizens? How many Frenchmen have you seen that are lobbying to become people from Chad or people from Niger? So it means that we have problems. We have problems. All the Egyptians, the Canaanites, and the Ethiopians are all original members of the black race. Now, because of the location of the Garden of Eden, the climate, the diet, evidence suggests that those who are living around that Garden of Eden were from the dark race. Certainly, Adam did not resemble today's traditional white man. Even Rahab, that harlot that saved the Jewish race, was a black woman. Bottom line, when black race walk with God, they are blessed by God. When they walk away from God, they walk into destructive lifestyles. Members of the black race can never reach their fullest potential until they embrace their spiritual root, which is in the Lord. And without God, all blacks are in deep trouble. Very, very deep trouble. Because of our foundation and of our roots in the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1, has a strange message. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. Isaiah 3:1. So for behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the old stay of bread and the old stay of water, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes. And babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. God was going to punish Judah and Jerusalem And when God was going to punish them, he picked a strange kind of judgment. He removed the leaders. And once the leaders are removed, and the leaders are now babies, the problem that will happen is what we just read. So once you see a leaderless people, it is evidence of divine anger. And the major trouble that Africa has now is leadership. Once the leadership are babies, this is what will happen. And once that, when you find there is no leadership, no leadership, no leadership, you know it's evidence that there is anger from the Almighty. Most African nations can be grouped under this scripture where there is no leader at all. I pray that the Lord will help us. The Lord will help us to make a difference. That's why we keep telling people, the wealth that God has deposited in Nigeria is not for wastage. God planted it here for the gospel. God will surely punish those who waste it. This is a serious matter. 1/4 of black men all over the world is in Nigeria. And God has planted us in strategic position. And every time there is a crisis, God turns to Africa for solution. But there is a divine controversy against Africa. There are over 70 spiritual problems plaguing Africa. Over 70. And all this is due to just one thing. Idol worship, polygamy, familial spirit, territorial bondages, blood covenants, land covenants, curses, marine powers, evil altars, polluted thrones. Some African thrones have been so polluted that there is no matter who you put there, if there is no deliverance of that throne, whoever you put there will still misbehave. There's buried virtues, spells, jinxes. We jinx ourselves, we put ourselves under spells. Spirit of slavery, dream manipulations, name manipulation, evil spiritual marriage, household wickedness, destiny diversion, collective captivity, demonic consumption, wastage, incisions, sacrifices to dark powers, libation, ear and nose piercing have their origin in idol worship, poverty, destructive charms, destructive incantations, environmental strongman, family strongman, individual strongman, satanic priests, placenta manipulation, star hunters, sand operators, demonic cultural festivals promoting the inferior above the superior, anti-maintenance spirit, polluted wealth, blood money, evil gates, consultation of dark spirits, eaters of flesh and drinkers of blood, forest spirits, ground spirits, rock spirits, ancestral strongman, witch doctors and marabouts, place names, animal spirits, the crossroads spirit, market spirit, the palace spirit, the spirit of untimely death, geographical strongholds, evil names, transfer of virtues, satanic worship, the crab spirit, will pull down those who are rising. The breadwinner's cemetery, those who are doing well are the ones that will be killed and be destroyed. Organization stupidity, starvation, famine, black against black, preventive diseases. Diseases that could be prevented but is affecting us. Senseless civil and tribal wars. Where even in a particular country, they cut people's limbs off. They cut their hands off. They will even ask the person, do you want short sleeve or long sleeve? I want to cut off the hand of a man. It's useless. Abuse of women. Cemetery of good things. Drawers of power from the heavenly. delighting in evil. That's over 75 spiritual problems that Africa has. The divine controversy with Africa is our idolatry. And people are seeing deep into it right now. There is crude idolatry. There is enlightened idolatry. There is mental idolatry. And there is decent idolatry. So that's why some people, when they come to a place like this, you say, don't use this, don't use that. And you find it so difficult to get out of your life. It means it has become an idol. An idol is anything you place before God or beside God. An idol is something you cannot drop. It has become part of you. You just cannot drop it. It has become an idol. In Exodus chapter 20, let's see the divine controversy of God against Africa. Exodus chapter 20 from verse 4. Exodus 20 from verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and show mercy unto them, unto thousands that love me and keep my commandments. So idolatry is the controversy that God has with Africa. It is important to note that this is the only one of the Ten Commandments which specifically mentions that the sins of the fathers will produce serious consequence to children that are yet unborn. The punishment for idolatry is generational. Can you raise up your right hand? Say, every idol of my father's house assigned to demote me, I bury your power now in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare, bury that power now. In Jesus' name we pray. By spiritual analysis and spiritual geography, cities where there is plenty of idolatry don't make progress. Cities where there is plenty of slavery, slave people being sold in the market or being transported, they don't move forward. The punishment for idolatry is generational. That is, children who don't know anything about what their fathers have served will suffer for it. And this is where the problem has come into the black man. So the curse of idolatry is the source of the black man's poverty. Rachel in the Bible made a tragic mistake by stealing the idols of Laban, of her father, and sitting on it, and she died during childbearing. So all of us have to repent. Not only on behalf of ourselves, on behalf of our own forefathers. We have imported Egyptian demons and Egyptian trouble into our lives. We need individual deliverance. We need collective deliverance. We need national deliverance. We need continental deliverance. All must repent. And each time somebody like me sees somebody promoting the idolatry, I cry. Because I know it's an agenda to send the black man backward more. I remember the time they wanted to celebrate First Pack 77 here. And they said everybody should come and display their culture here in Nigeria. And since that time, this nation has never remained the same. I remember one man that time, I think it was Chief Awolowo, who said it should not be done. And that it is a show of our primitivity. That the white man is coming there to laugh at us because we are just there to display our primitivity. that they are coming to laugh at us, a show of primitivity. He said the money for that Pastor 77 should be spent for education. That people are putting money down to go to the moon. We are celebrating Pastor. We must all repent. What are the keys to Africa deliverance? This is where we want to round up this morning and begin to pray. What are the keys? Number one, we must all surrender to Christ. So any agenda to preach the gospel to Africa must be supported. So we must surrender to Christ. Two, we must repent from all known sins. Repent from all known sins. Three, we must humble ourselves. Many of us are too proud for God to use. Four, we must pray deep prayers from the heart. Not prayer from the lips, but prayers from the heart. Five, we must seek the face of the Lord. Seek His face. Six, we must turn from our wickedness. There is plenty of wickedness inside the black man. Seven, we must abandon all these dumb idols which our forefathers have worshipped and have not led us anywhere. Eight, we must call solemn assemblies. Solemn assemblies. Call people together for prayers. Very soon in the new year now, there will be some special prayer program at the prayer city called Marathon Prayers. Marathon Prayers. People will come and pray for 7 hours non-stop. A solemn assembly. Now, we must raise watchmen in major cities. Raise watchmen, men who can intercede in major cities. 10. We must speak destruction unto both defunct and active altars. There are plenty of altars that are in our land. Africa has the largest number of altars in the whole world. And part of why there is trouble in Niger Delta is because there are some defunct altars that people are now bringing up again. We need to silence those altars and throw them away. 11. We must abandon backward cultures. Plenty of our cultures are good, plenty are very bad. Abandon the backward cultures. 12. We must pray out bad leaders. We as believers have a duty to pray out any bad leaders. 13. We must do territorial deliverance. A lot of our lands have been so polluted that nothing you put there can prosper. 14. We must abandon non-sacrificial Christianity. There are some people who just want to serve the Lord, but they don't want to do any sacrifice. Don't want to sacrifice their lives. 15. We must design strategies to deal with environmental and personal strongmen. We must design that strategy. That a lot of spirits and evil things living amongst us. Sometimes at night parties, most of those you see dancing there are spirits, not human beings. 16. We must take the battle also to the evilies. Because there are strong men, wicked forces above our heads. 17. We must go for individual and collective deliverance. Individual and collective deliverance. 18. We must break the curses of idolatry so that it doesn't go to our children. Because it's generational. If you don't stop it, it goes on. 19. We must go back to primitive Christianity. That was the Christianity our ancient fathers handed over to us. Primitive Christianity. Holiness within and without. Primitive Christianity. 20. We must methodically reject slavery by becoming self-sufficient. Reject slavery by becoming self-sufficient. In many countries in the world, when their government wanted them to be self-sufficient, they stop bringing certain things in so that they can manufacture their own. When they stop it, the people will sit down and work and do it. 21, we must carry the battle to the waters. Plenty of battles come to us from marine powers. 22, we must imbibe the reading culture. One white man has said that as far as the black men do not read, they will continue to be slaves. And 23, we must pray the tribalizing prayers. The tribalizing prayers. My tribe, my tribe, my tribe. And so we're ready to fight and kill, forgetting that we're the same. This morning, I want you to go home and think about what I've said. God is expecting much from Christians. God is expecting us as history changers and world changers to do certain things. Christians don't go into the street and start fighting anybody, no. Their fight is on their knees and the action they want to take. A man may argue against your word. A man may not accept what you are saying. But when you are on your knees, he is completely helpless. Daniel was on his knees. His prayer changed his world. Rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet now. You need to break free from any collective captivity that is keeping black people down. We need individual deliverance. We need collective deliverance. We need to be set free. Can I hear you shouting this loud and clear? It is the individual deliverance that will lead to the general deliverance. It is when each and everyone is free that the whole nation can be free. It is when each individual is holy that the country too can be holy. A country gets the kind of leadership they deserve. But once the individuals begin to change, God too begins to change towards them. This is why you will shout this prayer loud and clear. Don't say, well, I don't think I'm concerned. As far as the color of your skin is black, you need to cry to the Lord seriously. When you notice that where you come from, which is not by your choice, you find that certain things are wrong. Everybody is suffering from one pattern. You must pray the departing prayers and remove yourself from that pattern. If the enemy wants to make you a village champion and you are supposed to be an international champion, you have to break free from that village anointing and move forward. There are talents in this church, international talents. But when they allow the spirit of blackness, the African spirit, the tribal spirit, their village spirit to glue them down, they die unfulfilled. You will shout this loud and clear. Every curse of backwardness. Hey, what a pity. You don't understand. Can you shout this again loud and clear? Hear the word of the Lord. Yeah! In the name of Jesus. Batanda kaya boshende rabo kotonde raba. Ribo sepia likatanda kaya boshente. Basandia kaya bushente laba. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to be more aggressive. When you are supposed to be at level 1, and you are at level 1 that time, whatever is meant for level 1, you get it. When you are supposed to be level 14, and you are seeing level 1. Whatever is meant for you will be forwarded to the address of level 14. And since you are not there, you don't get it. Listen, beloved. Listen. Whatever is not allowing you to rise to the level the Almighty wants you to be, it's not your friend at all. It's the enemy of your destiny. This is why I want your prayer to roar like thunder as you pray this prayer. Your success is determined by how far you go to the level God wants you to reach. Your failure is when you are not even going to where God wants you to be. You will shout this loud and clear. Say, powers! Dragging me behind my divine level! Can I hear the brothers are shouting this loud and clear? There is a brother here who needs to shout this prayer louder. There is a brother who still needs to shout this prayer. Let me hear the sister shouting it louder. Everybody together now. Down! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, open your mouth, open your mouth. Put a sendekaya boshentera bokopola baraba. Danaribosopola kaya boshenta. Tenketela kapola bokosatenda. Makaponde kaya boshentera ba. Bakapola katanda karaba. Yes, 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 yes. In Jesus. Then we pray. This is wonderful. You know, we normally sing a song here. I shall get to my promised land. I shall get to my promised land. No matter what the devil may say, I shall get to my promised land. There is a divine promised land for each and everybody. Whether you get there or not is another story. On the way to the promised land, there is the Red Sea. There is the wilderness. There is Jordan. There are lions. The wild animals. The Perizzites. Hittites. Amalekites. Hittites. Perizzites. They are all there. Battling against getting to the promised land. There is the wall of Jericho. There are giants in the land. This is why with a voice that is louder than anyone around you, you will shout this loud and clear. Blockages! Can I hear your voice rather like thunder? Shout it again loud and clear. On the way to my promised land. Clear away! In the name of Jesus. Clear them away. Peter Salikada. Jesus' name we pray. This particular next prayer, immediately we begin to pray it. Some people will begin to feel cold shiver on their bodies. It's evidence of deliverance. Some may not be able to stand on their feet. Doesn't matter. If you're on the floor, keep praying on the floor. Can you shout this loud and clear? This is a serious prayer. When a native doctor prophesies against you, when your parents are taking you to where they should not take you to, and the satanic prophecies pursue your destiny, no matter how you struggle, just find that the same terrible pattern continues. Say this the way I'm going to say my own. Witchcraft prophecies against my destiny backfire in the name of Jesus. Pieta Sandika Ribokostante Aboshente Raba. Open your mouth, open your mouth. Open your mouth, open your mouth. The power of God in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. So every power demoting Africa, demoting Nigeria. Can I hear you shouting that loud and clear? Your time is up. Time! In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Stretch your two hands forward. Now you will burst out in loud prophecy for your hands. My hands. Hear the word of the Lord. Prosper by fire in the name of Jesus. Burst out in loud prophecy upon your hand. Jesus' name we pray. A louder amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now I want you to pray this prayer before we close and go. Say this loud and clear. Every blessing, every virtue, every breakthrough. Can I hear you shouting those three things? That my ancestors have lost, I repossess them by fire. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to declare it. Repossess them now. Makapesete lakayabo. In Jesus' name we pray. Now begin to prophesy into the womb of this week what you want from the Lord this week. Prophesy to the womb of the week. In Jesus' name we pray. So shall it be in the name of Jesus. The Lord will bless you from Zion. And will make his face to shine upon you. And be gracious unto you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I cover you and your family with the blood of Jesus. The prayers you have prayed there today shall bring you mighty testimonies. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let us share the grace in fellowship.